Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Antigo to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Great to have you along on this first day of May. Hard to believe it's May already. Seems like only yesterday when I started doing this show in mid-August. It's really, really weird. But regardless, it's a sunny day. Hope you're enjoying this very nice weather because it looks like we got some rain in the forecast coming up. On today's show, we're going to have Wayne Mauser from 102.3 The Bug in Wautoma stop by to recap the Packers in the NFL draft. We'll also have Tomahawk softball coach John Larson in to talk about the season. Plus, we'll also talk about the Brewers' controversial calls and what they have done to combat that on top of suspensions issued from last night's melee against Tampa Bay. But first, we're going to hit the hardwood and talk some Milwaukee Bucks. Let's waste no time.
Win. 5.2 left. No timeouts left for the Bucks. Here comes Dame. 3 seconds. Dame pulls for the win. Oh, Dame time is alive and well in Milwaukee.
So, the season is hopefully not over yet. That's the best thing we can say. The Bucks are down 3-2 in the series to the Indiana Pacers. And I knew that it was going to be a tall task without Giannis to see if they could win. I still thought that they could find a way to win that series in 7 games because of the veteran experience from this particular team and having a coach like Doc Rivers to get through a team like Indiana. And then you have Damian Lillard go out and seemingly, I'm not going to say all hope, but most of the hope that you have goes down the drain. Here's what I'm going to say about this series. Game 3 was the one that got away. Game 3, to me. Because if you take that game, if you take Game 3, you're up 3-2 going into Indiana, and you have Game 7 as a backup in case something goes awry. If Milwaukee wins Game 3, I would feel a lot better about heading into this particular, into the final 2 games of the series. Without Giannis Antetokounmpo and without Damian Lillard, the Bucks have found a way to compete and play at an incredibly high level defensively. Offensively, they've been struggling a bit, but they've been consistent. They have put up at least 109 points in each of the games in these playoffs so far. The one thing to look at, though, with this team is that I don't know how much grit and veteran toughness can get you when you're going up against a bunch of young thoroughbreds in Miami that can run up and down the floor on you. It was great that Milwaukee won Game 5 yesterday. Because now, with the series heading back to Indiana, the Bucks have a chance to do something that they have never done in their franchise history, and that's come back from down 3-1. We've seen it happen before. The Nuggets did it twice in the bubble. We saw the Cavs do it in the NBA Finals. We have seen the Suns do it against Kobe Bryant's Los Angeles Lakers. We've seen the Rockets do it against the Clippers. We've seen it happen, but it's never happened in Bucks franchise history. Bobby Portis for Game 4. Listen, I like Bobby Portis. I actually think that he was a big reason why they won Game 5 last night because of his 29-10 and the fact that he was consistent getting up and down the floor, coming away with some big rebounds. You can't get put in that situation in Game 4 and get ejected. Do I think he should have been ejected? No, but you don't leave that kind of statement in the official's hands. Period, end of story. Not only have Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo been hurt, though, and out. Giannis has been out the whole series. Dame out for the last 2 games. Middleton's been hurt. He's tweaked both of his ankles. Beverly's been hurt. Connaughton's been hurt. This whole team has not been healthy. Game 5 honestly surprised me because of the defense. Not only did Bobby Portis have 29 and 10, Middleton at 29 and 12. Patrick Beverley had a double-double for crying out loud, 13 and 12. That's the second time Indiana, by the way, has been held to under 100 points in this series. They were only held to under 100 once in the regular season. That was in March in a loss to the Bulls. It definitely helps because Indiana knows only one pace, and that is speed. Now, Doc Rivers said after the game that that Giannis and Dame are very, very, very close to returning. I don't know what that means. I am not going to try and figure it out. All I can say is if Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo play in game 6 and 7, I like Milwaukee's chances. I don't like them if they're both out. Game 6 is tomorrow in Indianapolis. If Damian Lillard or Giannis play, I think it's a 50-50 shot. Neither of them play, it's a 25% chance, in my opinion, that they pull this out. If both of them play, I like their chances. So, where does this leave Milwaukee? Now, the thing with the Bucks at this point, I was afraid that I was going to come on here today and talk about the end of the season. Because I did not have a lot of faith in this team going into Game 5. I was happy that it happened. Patrick Beverley had an unbelievable game. Malik Beasley finally showed up. Bobby Portis had a phenomenal game. Chris Middleton continues to win. I don't know what it is with him. For whatever reason, he will have these games where he scores, 15 and 7, has a decent showing, and the team ends up performing incredibly well. Then all of a sudden, he will drop 42 like he did in Game 3, or he'll have 25, 10, and 5. And I got sent the stat because I had to do a very, very quick double take. Chris Middleton, since 2020-21, has 6 playoff games with at least 25 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. That's as many as Kevin Durant and twice as many in LeBron James. And only 4 players in the NBA rank above Middleton in that span. So essentially, when Chris Middleton shows up in the playoffs, he steps up and plays absolutely unbelievable. We've seen him do that in the conference finals in 2021 when he had a phenomenal couple of games against Atlanta. He had a 40-point performance against Phoenix in the NBA finals. We have seen him put up big games before. Game 3 was phenomenal. Game 4, he exceeded expectations. Now, the one thing I'll say about the series, if it gets to Game 7, if Milwaukee finds a way to win tomorrow, the game tomorrow is at 5:30 over in Indiana. It'll be broadcast on TNT. If the Bucks find a way to pull out Game 6, either Indiana has a cold shooting day, Milwaukee duplicates their defensive performance, or the Bucks, God forbid, outpace the Pacers and win a game 135-134. I like Milwaukee's chances in Game 7. And I had to go back and look. The Bucks have not hosted a lot of Game 7s. They've had 12 in their history. And they are 3-9 in Game 7s all time. The Pacers are 3-6. The last time Milwaukee hosted a Game 7, so a Game 7 in Milwaukee on their home court, the last time that happened was 2001. It was the 2001 Eastern Conference semifinals, and that was against the Charlotte Hornets. That Charlotte Hornets team was a good team, too. They had Baron Davis, P.J. Brown, Jamal Mashburn, Eldon Campbell. They had good players on that team. And the Bucks won behind a 29-point performance from Glenn Big Dog Robinson and 28 from Ray Allen. If Milwaukee finds a way to close out Game 6 and force it back to a Game 7, which would be Saturday at Pfizer Forum, I would like Milwaukee's chances. I really, really would. Can it happen? It's possible. We've seen crazier things happen in the league. But they need to win Game 6 or otherwise their season's over. And if their season is over, by at the end of tomorrow night, I think that we will literally sit down and have a legitimate conversation, and I will talk about what Milwaukee needs to do in the offseason. Because my initial thinking was to trade Chris Middleton. Then I realized that Milwaukee has only played five games with all three of their big three healthy. That, since Doc Rivers took over, only five games that all three have been on the floor since Doc Rivers took over. So they just need to get healthy. I do still think they need to get younger. I still think that they need to trade for draft capital. But I do like the idea of having all three of them on the floor, if healthy, next year. Something to think about. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening. It's now 5:44. We're going to take a break. We'll take a quick peek at the Packers draft picks with Wayne Mauser from 102.3 The Bug in Wautoma. We're going to recap the Packers NFL draft selections. That's next here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Spring fishing time in the Northwoods is right around the corner. Make sure you're ready. Head on over to Vigo Stewart Express in Tomahawk. Check out the selection of rods, reels, and combos. Minn Kota trolling motors, Stearns life vests, hip boots, and waders, tackle boxes and tackle, artificial bait and live bait, and of course your fishing license too. Stop by today at your spring fishing headquarters, Vigo's Do It Express, right along North 4th Street, Tomahawk.
The way we use our homes is changing. Hilke's LP Gas is your local carrier expert. They're here to help you improve your indoor comfort, from optimizing the performance of your heating and cooling system to ensuring your indoor air is cleaner and healthier. They're committed to delivering premium comfort and helping you breathe a little easier. Serving most of northern Wisconsin since 1958, contact Hilke's LP Gas at 453-3505. They're online at hilkes.com or located on South Tomahawk Avenue for your cooling comfort. Carrier, turn to the experts.
In preparation for a dam safety enhancement project at the Rice-Bradley Dam, Wisconsin Valley Improvement Company would like to alert the public of a boat landing closure that may affect recreational users of the Rice Reservoir, also known as Lake Nokomis. On Monday and Tuesday, May 6th and 7th, the Nokomis Drive boat landing will be accessible, but users should expect delays. From Wednesday, May 8th to Friday, May 10th, the Nokomis Drive boat landing will be closed. Users are encouraged to use the County End boat landing as an alternative option on these dates. For more information on this closure, the Rice Dam Safety Enhancement Project, and any other inquiries, please visit WVIC.com or call 848-2976. That's 848-2976.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hours Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggy with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboard serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboard's Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboard's Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening, and it's now time for our Wisconsin State interview of the day. And currently joining me, a good friend of mine from 102.3 The Bug down in Wautoma, the one and only Wayne Mauser. Wayne, welcome back to the show, my friend, and thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me, Alex. It's a pleasure. It's a beautiful day where I'm at.
Yeah, it's beautiful up here, too. It looks like we're going to be getting some rain coming up tomorrow, though.
Yeah, I know. That's in the forecast for us, too. So we'll have to wait and see on that. The weather's been kind of different, a lot of wind and all that, but I guess
yeah.
It's springtime.
Yeah, it definitely is. Well, Wayne, the NFL draft was in full swing over this past week. I want to ask you, what did you think about Green Bay's draft overall in Detroit?
Well, 11 players, and they picked three offensive linemen, a couple of linebackers, some DBs. They also picked up a running back and quarterback, the final pick. I guess it's kind of every year, I don't know what to expect anymore about the draft, because you have all of these speculations about, well, they're going to, draft this guy. What do they need? Only they really know what they need. And I thought the offensive draft, or the linemen that went out, three of them, is going to help them out. They need the depth there. And
yes.
Bakhtiari is gone, and they picked up, at 25, a good offensive lineman from Arizona, Jordan Morgan. And he had a good career in college, 37 starts. He tore his ACL, but he came back for his senior year, so he, recovered quickly. And I thought that... it was a good pick. We'll find out what's going on, but you always want depth.
Yes.
Especially on the offensive line and defensive line. And this guy played left tackle in college at Arizona. So he, they must grade him pretty highly. Otherwise, they wouldn't have taken him. And I didn't think they'd move, closer to maybe the, mid-teens or anything like that. But they decided to stay put. So maybe the 25th pick will be good for them again, like it was when they picked up Jordan Love. He was at number 25 as well.
Yeah, let's hope so. Wayne, let's focus in a little bit more on Jordan Morgan. Again, the offensive tackle out of Arizona. You mentioned a little bit about him. He's somebody that was first-team All-Pac-12 last year. So when he's healthy, he can be one of the better offense. He was one of the better offensive tackles in the country. Allowed just 2 sacks and 787 total snaps. What do you think about him overall as a player?
I think he's a tremendous athlete, and I know they... they were a little, suspicious about his arm length. I guess, it's 33 inches, which I guess is not that long when you think of a big offensive lineman. But they say he's a great athlete. He's versatile. And every time that Brian Gutekunst drafts, he wants players that are versatile.
Yes.
So I'm thinking that, he's a left tackle, but he can probably play guard. Who knows? Maybe he could be a center, but at least left tackle, right tackle, and maybe a guard position if he has to make that transition. So they like players who are versatile, and I think he is.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. Talking here with Wayne Mauser from 102.3 The Bug here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Wayne, let's now go to the day two picks, the second and third round picks for Green Bay, and really what it was addressing needs. They picked up Edgerrin Cooper, Javon Bullard out of Texas A&M, Marshawn Lloyd out of USC. They picked up Tyron Hopper out of Missouri. What was your favorite day two pick of that particular day?
I mean, out of this Packer picks,
yeah,
I think Cooper was a good pick, and the running back Marshawn Lloyd. They want to add depth again and provide the competition at every position. That's what it's all about in anything, especially the NFL. So you bring in a player like that, a draftee, you're expected to make the team. And you've got to prove yourself, though.
Yes.
And if you do, then you're going to get some PT, And that's what these guys want, and that's what the Packers want, too. They invest time, money in you, and they want to see the results of that. So it'll be interesting when, they're camp, and there'll be a lot of eyes on all of these rookies and the whole team, as a matter of fact. I mean, last year it was a year of great results, even though the expectations, in my opinion, at least for me, weren't that great going in, but what a finish, you know.
Yeah. Looking at this NFL draft here, a lot of people, you know, pegged the Packers to take a certain player. I know a lot of people wanted them to take Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. A lot of people wanted to see if they would go like Graham Barton out of Duke, who went to Tampa Bay. DeJean ultimately went to Philly. It always seems to throw everybody for a loop when Brian Gutekunst is drafting players, isn't it?
I guess with everybody else, too, you mentioned DeJean because I think we talked maybe a couple of months ago, and we talked a little bit about him.
Yeah.
And a great versatile back, cornerback, and also, you know, he's an explosive return player. So I really thought that he might go, you know, at least within the top 20 of the team someplace. And then there were three DBs picked in front of him, and then he ends up going number 40 on day two. Sometimes I guess it's the needs of a team or whatever, but he's a great athlete. He's got great speed, and I thought maybe he would be one of those players who would possibly go to the Packers. I didn't think he would last that long, but then all of a sudden, 15 picks later, he finally gets picked. But there's players you get fooled on all the time because, again, you know, GMs have their needs, and they have a brain trust. They sit down, and they decide, well, we need depth here. We like this guy a lot of film on him. And, you know, they're looking at that video all the time. So that enables them to come up with what they do. And then, you know, if you scramble or you see somebody gone in front of you that you wanted, well, then you've got a backup. So I don't know if he was a backup or not. I don't think so. I don't know if he was asked that question. But they do need, you know, depth on that offensive line. I think he's going to help them a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Again, talking here with Wayne Mauser from 102.3 The Bug here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Wayne, let's now quickly go over to the day three picks. Again, Brian Gutekunst making a lot of moves. They picked up Evan Williams out of Oregon. They had Jacob Monk out of Duke. They also picked up Katana Ladapo, Oregon State, Travis Glover of Georgia State, Michael Pratt out of Tulane, and Kalen King out of Penn State. What do you make of these day three picks that Gutekunst make?
Well, again, I think he, you know, he's got three offensive linemen. So, and he's got, you know, the day three pick. He's got a third safety there. Well, again, you're going down in the draft. Or, you know, the draft, you have a limited amount of players left, and, you know, you've got your eye on a launch. You've got your board set up, and, okay, if this happens, you know, we're going to pick this guy, and what if he's gone or still available, we'll pick him. If not, do we trade and maybe get another pick? I don't know enough about these players to tell you the truth, except they're good enough to be drafted in the NFL. And they drafted a quarterback very last pick, too. No kicker, though. A lot of people wanted the Packers to take another kicker, but they've got three on the roster with Carlson and Joseph. And they also have Podlesny, so they don't need a kicker. They don't need a punter, but I did think they would maybe add some explosive depth to, you know, as a receiver somewhere in there. I know they picked one up, and also, you know, somebody who can return kicks and punts. They have a pretty good, you know, cast of, you know, a couple of players who can do that now, and we don't know what's going to happen because it's a long way to training camp, and then in training camp, you never know.
Yeah.
Deals are made, and other players come out. They look good. All of a sudden, they make the roster, and they get a lot of playing time.
Definitely. Wayne Mauser from 102.3 The Bug here in Wautoma recapping the NFL draft with us. 11 brand-new Packers overall on draft day. Also, just a quick note, the NFL schedule is going to be released next week. The Packers will be opening up their season on Friday, September 5th, against the Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil. Wayne Mauser from 102.3 The Bug. Wayne, thank you very much for joining me. I genuinely appreciate it.
Alex, always a pleasure. I hope my throat was okay because I had a little raspiness because I've got these, I guess, spring allergies. I don't know.
It's all right. It happens to everybody, Wayne. Spring allergies happen to everybody.
All right. Thank you. You have a good one, okay?
Yes, you too, Wayne. Have a great evening.
All right.
Wayne Mauser from 102.3 The Bug in Wautoma joining us here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Thank you very much to Wayne for joining us. Again, 11 players the Packers have drafted. Going to be very curious to see what happens. Again, just to recap one more time. First round pick, Jordan Morgan, offensive tackle out of Arizona. The second round picks, Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker from Texas A&M. Javon Bullard, safety out of Georgia. The third round picks are Marshawn Lloyd, running back out of USC, and a Tyron Hopper, linebacker out of Missouri. Fourth round pick, Evan Williams, safety out of Oregon. Fifth round picks are Jacob Monk, offensive lineman out of Duke, and Ketan Oladapo of Oregon State, safety. Sixth round pick, Travis Glover, offensive tackle, Georgia State. And the seventh round picks were Michael Pratt, quarterback from Tulane. And pick number 255 was cornerback from Penn State, Kalen King. Going to be very interesting to see. Again, very excited. I think that we should do an NFL schedule release next week. We're going to see. Hopefully, we can find out who is going to be playing what. And the Packers, obviously, we know their opponents. We just need to figure out who they're going to be playing at what time. All we know is that they're going to be going to Brazil for the first game of their 2024 season against the Eagles. That will be coming up on Friday, September 6th. Hard to believe that it is just 4 months away. Hard to believe it. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Coming up on the second half of the show, we're going to sit down with Hatchet softball coach John Larson to get his thoughts on the team's softball season so far. Plus, controversy brewing in Milwaukee involving the umpires. We will find out what they have in store and how the Brewers did against the Tampa Bay Rays back at home earlier on today. Again, you're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Tomahawk, good to have you along on this Wednesday. 62 degrees under sunny skies, and it's now 6 o'clock. Time for our latest update from CBS News.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. Pro-Palestinian protests have now taken over nearly 40 college campuses across the country. The latest at Fordham University, where the schools threatened to expel more than 200 students. CBS's Lilia Luciano's down the street at Columbia in New York.
NYPD will remain on campus until May 17th. Commencement is happening on May 15th. And so in order to prevent for more encampments or an occupation of another building or the same building, it sounds like NYPD will remain there.
Our Michael George is in Washington.
George Washington University in Washington, D.C. and the University of Texas, Dallas are among the latest colleges where protesters have set up encampments. Students are calling on the administration to divest from companies that support the war effort.
They know our demands. Until they meet them, our commitment is to stay in this space.
The White House condemning the violence happening at these colleges. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
We have seen a uptick in anti-Semitism in the last, certainly several months, in the past year. And we have to call that out, and it is not okay.
The House passing legislation today that defines anti-Semitism and could threaten federal funding at schools. A 6-week abortion ban took effect today in Florida. Vice President Kamala Harris in Jacksonville saying 6 weeks isn't enough time for most women to even know they're pregnant.
The extremists who wrote this ban either don't know how a woman's body works or they simply don't care.
Harris blaming Trump for bans in nearly 20 states. Harvey Weinstein could face rape charges again in September. The movie mogul back in court today after his 2020 conviction was overturned in New York. Lawyer Arthur Idala says Weinstein's in bad shape.
Who you all saw the condition he's in, he's not hurting anyone ever again. If that's what he was accused of in the beginning, I'm not saying he ever did.
At least one woman set to testify again. Johnson & Johnson will pay $6.5 billion to settle lawsuits over its talcum powder. The company stopped selling it in 2020 over traces of asbestos. And 7 months now till Halloween, but Home Depot's already out of a popular prop.
Skelly's a 12-foot-tall skeleton that's gone viral ever since its launch 4 years ago. They stocked up extra early this year, but it's already sold out. Due to Skelly's popularity, they're also out with a 5-foot-tall, 7-foot-long skeleton dog. But that sold out in 2 minutes. And good luck getting your hands on the new 7-foot-tall Frankenstein monster. It's going fast. Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
Target and Lowe's has some stuff for sale now, too. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Fisher Investments, we may seem like other money managers, but we're different.
What makes you so different than the rest of us?
We ensure clients receive unparalleled service at every step of the relationship.
Tell me more.
Our investment counselors focus on service over sales, prioritizing clients' needs.
How do you make money?
We don't sell any commission-based products. We have a simple management fee based on the value of our clients' portfolio. So we do better when our clients do better.
What about client portfolios?
We get to know each client, their finances, family, health, lifestyle, and more. And then we tailor a portfolio based on their specific goals and needs.
Your clients really come first then, huh?
Yes, we make them a top priority. Our goal is helping them achieve a comfortable retirement.
Wow, maybe we are different.
At Fisher Investments, we're clearly different. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com.
Investing in securities involves the risk of loss.
Bikini Bottom celebrating a big birthday.
Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain. Here it comes.
Oh! Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
Steve Hillenburg taught marine biology and was an animator. Then, in 1994, apparently thought,
Mr. Krabs, I have an idea.
It was to create a talking yellow sea sponge named SpongeBob SquarePants and a cast of characters that lived in the underwater city of Bikini Bottom. 25 years ago today, SpongeBob SquarePants premiered on Nickelodeon and has since been seen in over 170 markets worldwide. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
Meta's offering cash now for content on Threads. The social media platform has 150 million subscribers, but the company says engagement is low, so they're paying content creators up to $5,000 for posts that get at least 10,000 views. They say original content only. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time, 6:05 p.m. and a very good Wednesday evening. I'm Alex Cook. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on WJJQ. It's currently 61 degrees under sunny skies. Well, on the second half of the Sports Q, we are going to start off with some Brewers controversy as the Milwaukee Brewers wrapped up their series with the Tampa Bay Rays. And then also we'll chat with Hatchet softball coach John Larson later on. But first, here's Brittany Zimmerman with our weather forecast.
The forecast for the Northwoods. Clouds are increasing tonight and temperatures dropping quite chilly. In fact, we're going to fall to the upper 30s. With winds becoming a bit breezy tomorrow out of the east, gusting up to 20 miles per hour, under cloudy and overcast skies, we're going to be seeing rain by midday. Occasional soaking showers throughout the evening wind down overnight, but highs tomorrow stay cooler in the low 50s. We get a little shove to some warmth on Friday into the upper 60s as the system clears on out of here. I hope you enjoy the rest of your evening. For WJJQ, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The Sports Q on WJJQ, your source for sports from around the state and in the Northwoods. Here's your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening. Great to have you along. It was Brittany Merlot with the weather, not Brittany Zimmerman. I have no idea where that name came from. I guess you could say that I am an idiot. And I just hit rock bottom with my knowledge. I think I better stick to what I know best, which is sports. And now let's hit the diamond to talk some Brewers.
Here it comes. And that one's deep. Right center. Christian Yelich has tied it up.
So a little bit of controversy has surrounded the Milwaukee Brewers over the last few games. They were able to get the series victory over the Rays today, 2-1. Good for them. So first, let's talk about the two controversial calls that plagued them, three really that plagued them on back-to-back days. So the first one, the Judge slap, the slide, essentially. Let me just go ahead and say that that was clearly interference that should have been called. And the umpires missed it. They came out and they admitted that they missed that particular call, so that should have been the call. Now, would that have affected the outcome of the game? I don't think so. Yes, the Yankees did score seven runs in that inning. However, they won the game by 10. If they won the game by 5 or 6, then you could sit back and say, okay, that inning was clearly the difference. But no, them putting up seven runs, yes, it contributed to them ultimately winning that game, but it wasn't the ultimate difference in that particular game. The Yankees won by 10, so it only contributed to the blowout. Plus, the Brewers shouldn't be giving up 15 runs in back-to-back games. I don't care if you're a major league team or a softball team. You can't give up 15 runs in back-to-back games. Now let's go over to the Tampa Bay side, and let's talk about the Bowers follow-through really quickly. Now, this rule is a little bit murky, if you will, because a lot of fans were crying out, why wasn't there interference called on that play? Why is, you know, the ball dead and Frelick shouldn't have been allowed to score? The rule explicitly states, and I went back and I look at this, if you want to listen to the explanations, there's a YouTube channel called Close Call Sports. Go ahead, look it up. It's some former major league representatives that describe the rules in particular fashion as to the reason why the call has been gone like this or like that. Now, as frustrating as the call on Bowers was, it was the correct call. Allow me to explain. So on a pass ball, if there is a backswing from a hitter that ends up hitting a catcher, that is automatically ruled a strike and the ball is dead. When it comes to a pass ball, if there was no contact, that means that a strike is called. Strike three, Bowers out, and that's the reason why Frelick was not able to advance. The ball was automatically dead. So as a result, Bowers could not advance to first, and instead, Frelick could not go to third, and the Brewers ended up losing that game. It was a frustrating call, but it was the correct call. And again, the rule states that when there is inadvertent contact with the bat on a pass ball, it is ruled dead and a strike has been called on a swing. That's the rule. So that's the reason Frelick didn't score. Now let's get to what happened yesterday. Because I didn't think that there was going to be any more controversy with Brewers and umpires. I thought that we had our fill of that for the homestand. And then yesterday happens when Freddy Peralta gets tossed, Pat Murphy gets ejected, and then Abner Uribe and Jose Siri end up getting into a brawl, and they both get tossed. When it comes to hitting batters, it is a judgment call for the umpires. It is a judgment call. You have to look at how the game goes. You have to look at who was it. Jose Siri hit a home run in the first inning. It was a 3-0 pitch, and it was a curveball that came back in on Peralta and hit Siri in the leg. You could clearly tell. The reason why Freddy Peralta was ejected is because the umpires believed that that hit was on purpose. I do not believe that that was the case. I would have issued warnings for both benches, for both, and just let them play on and see what happens. That, to me, also boiled over to Pat Murphy getting ejected, which was shortly after that happened, and that also led to the brawl. Abner Uribe got talking with Jose Siri. Both of them got ejected. By the way, Freddy Peralta got suspended for 5 games for hitting Jose Siri. Abner Uribe got 6, and Pat Murphy got 2. It was not Pat Murphy in the Brewers dugout for the Brewers knocking off the race today. It was Ricky Weeks, the head bench coach, who got his chance to see what it's like. And he's also going to be the manager for the team's series opener in Chicago coming up on Friday when they go down to visit their old friend Craig Counsell. Again, they lost 3 straight Saturday through Monday. And the weird thing with interleague opponents, you never know which way it's going to go. I was not surprised that they lost the series to the Yankees. I was not surprised that they lost the first game to Tampa Bay. When you go up against a team that's from a different league that you're not very familiar with, weird things can happen. Very weird things can happen. That's the reason why Milwaukee only went 3-3 on that homestand. The road record is still impressive. They are, I believe, 10-3 on the road at this point. And they're still battling for first place in the National League Central in May. If you would have told me at the end of the month the Brewers would be first place in the National League Central, I would have said you're crazy, to be honest with you.
Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind?
No, I'm not. So now the Brewers are fighting for first place in this National League Central. They get tomorrow off after knocking off the race today. Way to go, Willie Adames, for hitting 2 home runs today. See, there it is. A little bit of an extra life for him, too. And they have a 3-game set with the Chicago Cubs coming up, and it's an all-day series, which is always fun. I love those series. They are still spoilers on the road also. 6-game road trip begins. They are in Chicago on Friday through Sunday, and then they take a trip to Kansas City to take on the Royals next week as well. So let's hope for a couple of series wins. You're tuned into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ at 6:12. After the break, Hatchet softball coach John Larson's in the house. We'll take a listen to what he has to say on the team season so far. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
The Enchada Country Club invites you to play around with them this spring. In Chalice, par 70 layout is truly fun and challenging for players of all ages and ability levels. In Chalice features a driving range, putting and chipping greens, pro shop, and bar and grill. Call for your tee time today at 453-3130 or book a tee time online at InshallahCC.com. Inshallah Country Club, Clear Lake Road in Tomahawk. Play around this spring at Inshallah.
We're proud of our history as a century-old Wisconsin institution. Hi, I'm Sue from Crossbridge Community Bank. We stay true to the simple, community-based ideals of a mutual bank that exists to serve its people. That is true for our business customers as well. We want to provide you with everything your business needs to grow and flourish. Stop in to either our Merrill or Tomahawk locations and see what makes Crossbridge Community Bank different from the others. Maybe it's time to make the switch. A bank that puts purpose first. What's your purpose? Let us help you realize it. Visit crossbridge.bank to find out more.
Wild Rivers Group Real Estate offers unparalleled service to all clients in the Northwoods real estate market. Your complete satisfaction with our service and representation is our number one priority. Hi, this is Matt Tyler. Whether you are considering buying a home, selling a home, Wild Rivers Group knows the area inside and out. Call me at 490-1820 or stop by our offices at 1414 North 4th Street in Tomahawk or check us out online at wildriversgroup.com. We're ready to serve you at Wild Rivers Group Real Estate.
Just For You Fitness of Tomahawk provides the community with a top-notch fitness facility where everyone fits in and feels comfortable no matter what your fitness level or experience is. Just For You Fitness has treadmills, art trainers, recumbent bikes, cable machines, plus free weights and dumbbells. And Just For You Fitness is now offering personal training. For more information on personal training, call trainer Casey Mackey at 409-3519 or Just For You at 453-5100. Just For You Fitness, North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and online at justforyoufitness.com, offering fitness on your time and also now offering personal training. Call Casey at 409-3519 to set up your appointments. That's 409-3519. Just For You Fitness, North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Fitness on your time.
Here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening. It is now 6:16, and it's now time for our Hatchet interview of the day. And currently joining me right back in the air chair is Hatchet softball coach John Larson. John, welcome back, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Alex. I look forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. John, let's waste no time here. Hard to believe we're in the final 2 weeks of the season already. It has flown by just like that. Let me ask you, what have you thought of your team's performance this year?
Well, I can sum it up with one word: inconsistent. I think we have played some exceptional ball at times from start to finish. I think we've played some games where we've played exceptionally well for a few innings at a time. And the innings we didn't got us in trouble, and we ended up coming up short. And then we've played some games where things just didn't go well for us at all. So I think we need to develop that consistency. I think we have the biggest thing we talked about this week with our girls is we have to play to our ability. Right now we're not consistently playing up to our ability. And I think once we find that groove, And hopefully it's come tournament time. We're going to continue to look for great things to happen. Our girls, the thing I like about our girls is they understand that. They know they haven't played up to their ability. They continue to work very hard. My coaching staff continues to work very hard because, we feel we need to find something to get them over the hump. And we'll continue to do that. But I still feel really good at 7-9. Our conference is tough, especially at the top. These last three games, two against Lakeland, we saw Mosinee on last week. That's the best pitchers in the conference, and quite honestly, two of the best pitchers in the state of Wisconsin. So some quality opponents, and it gave us an indicator of where we need to be. So we love how our schedule is built. We want to play quality opponents. We don't care about our record during the regular season. What we care about is when we hit tournament time, we are playing our best ball, and we're ready to make a run for Madison.
John, let me go ahead and ask you. You mentioned briefly the conference that you're in. You mentioned teams like Mosinee, they're number one in Division II. Lakeland has Sailor Timmerman, who is going to be playing Arkansas in a couple of years. You've also got Medford, who has not seemed to have lost a step after losing their star pitcher last year. And you've got Antigo, who always is very well coached. They find a way to get back to the top of the conference. How well do you think this team has done against the rest of the GNC so far this year?
Well, the rest of the GNC, we've done very well. I think we've played even against Antigo, where the score indicates we obviously didn't do very well on the scoreboard, but we had some bright spots in that game. Even the Medford game, when we lost 9-3, we out-hit them. We stranded too many runners. We had opportunities to score. We had opportunities to put pressure on them the first time. We didn't come up with that big hit, and that's an example of what I was talking about earlier. We just have to come up with that big hit at the right time and get those runs aboard. And when you can put runs on the board and you can put pressure on your opponent, it changes that momentum, and it makes just for a better ball game for the Hatchets. So we continue to strive for that day in and day out. I love being in the GNC. You know, a lot of people want to not be in the GNC anymore. I love it because it prepares us for what we want to accomplish. And if you're about conference championships and stuff and that's it, then I get it. But if you're about getting to the pinnacle of your sport and that's winning a state championship, I think we are set up in our softball conference really well, and it prepares us for the run at the right time.
And talking here with Hatchet softball coach John Larson here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. John, you've got a couple of young players I want to highlight really quickly here. Sophie Olson and Avery Petta, both of them have been pitchers and both have played the infield. They're making a very, very big impact here early on in this in their careers. What have those two have shown you? What have those two shown you so far this year?
Well, Sophie in her second year of being on varsity, she just continues to really, excel and do things very well for us in every aspect. She can play anywhere on the field that we put her pretty much. She's a talented young player with and Avery as well. And I'll be honest, they're at the level they are as young players because they had parents who spent time with them improving their skills. It wasn't just about playing in games and getting better. You have to practice, and you have to do all those little intangible things and hone those fundamental skills so that when you get to game day, you can excel on the field. And they had families that did that, and it's kind of been a, if you really pay attention, and I don't care what sport you're watching, and you know the families of the children that are playing, you know exactly who has invested time in their kids when they're young, and you know who has not. And if there's a lot of Hatchet listeners out there right now, and they want to have their child be successful, spend time with them when they're young, do the right things, don't be afraid to reach out to coaches, because I don't know too many coaches that aren't willing to help and grow their sport. Reach out to them, and make things happen. And I think right now those are two very good examples, Avery and Sophie, where that happened.
Again, talking here with Hatchet softball coach John Larson here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. John, let's now go to the senior class here, and there's a lot of seniors on this team. Kaylee Herring, your starting pitcher, Kiana Vacco, Sammy Gaybauer, Bella Marino, Emerson Lang, Scout Stromberg, Abby Callard, Macy Jankowicz, and Maddie Bowman. What are you going to remember the most about this particular senior class?
Well, just simply the fact that there's nine of them and they stuck together. They're playing a sport that they, I hope, love. Otherwise, why would you do it for as long as they have? May not be their favorite sport, but it's still a sport that they have been together for. They've stayed together. They understand what being a team is all about. They've embraced each other's talents and abilities and what they bring to our team and our softball program. I think those seniors have really taken the brunt of the leadership that we look for as coaches and made our young players feel welcome and just doing all the right things. They're a fun group of girls. We can be who we are and around them. They can feel they're comfortable and they know they can be the way they are around us as coaches. It's a great chemistry. It's a great working relationship, and there's no doubt after everything that they have given to our softball program, they are going to be deeply missed after this season when it ends. So we're going to enjoy the ride right now and enjoy coaching that group of girls because they're an outstanding group, and they're not only good athletes, they're student athletes. They are all great in the classroom. They excel in the classroom, and that's what I'm proud of as well. They're not just good people, but they understand that they're in school for a reason. They're great, show it. They're doing it right.
That is wonderful to hear. Now let's go ahead and talk about this, because hard to believe, seeding meetings start next week for Division 2 through 5. Looking at your group in this upcoming sectional, I've got the team list right here. Got a lot of really good programs. Wittenberg, Burnhamwood back on the come up. They currently have the best record in that grouping. You've got Amherst, Oconto, Peshtigo, Wyawega Fremont, who you played last year. Make your case for your team being able to host a playoff game this year.
Well, first of all, right now, our seeding meeting is the 12th, so we have an opportunity to get a lot of games under our belt. We were asked when we wanted to do it, and everybody in our sectional wanted to do that. So that's what we went with. Right now, Coach Foles and I feel we can compete and beat anybody in that bracket. When you look at it, it's a team that, you know, right now Wittenberg is your best record in that, and they got beat by Leona Wabino. If I remember correctly, a team we already beat. So set records aside, you know, the seeds are going to fall where they may. I feel right now if we continue to get better and we get some pivotal wins here in the next week, we can make the case for a bye in the first round. We should be in that upper half of the grouping. And then in that second round, host a game on that, I think it would be that Tuesday.
Yes.
Because we'll play Thursday and then that next Tuesday. So I think right now, I would say the chances are pretty good. But at the end of the day, we'll see where things fall and go from there.
Again, absolutely. Again, talking here with Hatchet softball coach John Larson here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. John, final question I have for you. Let's talk about your game coming up that's currently scheduled for tomorrow, weather pending. Knocked on wood. I just knocked on my head. You've got Medford. You travel down there. You lost to them earlier. What do you need to do to salvage a split with the Raiders?
Well, first of all, I think we need to continue to get solid pitching. I mean, that's key in any game. I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer. We need to play flawlessly defensively. In the game against Lakeland, the second game at home here just last night, we played flawlessly defensively. I mean, Lakeland put the ball in play. And we did what we needed to do. And then the biggest thing we need to do is get the bats going again. And the one thing we have for our girls to be confident with that is we out-hit them the first time. I think we just have to make sure that we string a few together in the same inning. And when we have runners in scoring position, we don't leave them out on base. If we can drive some runs in, get off to a good start, get an early lead, put pressure on them, I like our chances tomorrow at Medford.
John, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap things up here?
No, I just appreciate it. I appreciate everybody that's coming out and watching these girls play. Keep supporting them. They love it when you're there. And Look forward to the rest of the season.
Yeah, definitely. Tomahawk takes on Medford Thursday afternoon. First pitch at 5. John Larson, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Alex.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back to wrap up the Sports Q right after this on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
John J. Shuni Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Shuni Construction of Tomahawk.
With warmer weather arriving, now is the time to think about your air conditioning systems because hot weather is right around the corner. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700. Premier offers the Dave Lennox Signature Collection of air conditioners and furnaces designed from the inside out to look good and work better than ever. Premier is proud to offer Lennox home comfort systems that save you energy and money. Call Premier today. Josh will give you all the information about Dave Lennox Signature Collection with a furnace just right for your heating and cooling needs, and be ready for a hot summer. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County A. Call 453-4700 and online at premierheatingcooling.com.
The Inshallah Country Club invites you to play around with them this spring. Inshallah's par 70 layout is truly fun and challenging for players of all ages and ability levels. Inshallah features a driving range, putting and chipping greens, pro shop, and bar and grill. Call for your tee time today at 453-3130 or book a tee time online at inshallahcc.com. Inshallah Country Club, Clear Lake Road in Tomahawk. Play around this spring at Inshallah.
Find out why four generations of families in the Northwoods have been doing business at the Auto House in Tomahawk. Gary's the area's longest operating auto dealer. He provides around 40 quality late model used cars, SUVs, and even trucks. And there's a nice selection of trucks available right now at the Auto House. The Auto House is a complete dealership where they service what they sell in their service department with an ASC certified technician. So call 453-2886 for your service appointment. If you need an extra vehicle, the Auto House has rental units available also. And if you don't see the vehicle you're looking for on the lot, just ask Gary and he'll find what you're looking for, and that's what you call doing business the right way at the Auto House, North 4th Street in Tomahawk, online at autohousecars.net. That's AUTOHAUS cars.net.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you. Thank you very much to Hatchet softball coach John Larson for joining me on the show today, and thank you also to Wayne Mauser from 102.3 The Bug for joining me today. As we get into our final countdown, let's go and take a look at the Hatchet events upcoming for this week. Coming up tomorrow, Tomahawk Golf with the Great Northern Conference meet at Rhinelander. That begins at 3. Tomahawk Baseball is in Mosinee. That's at 5. And Tomahawk Softball is in Medford, as you heard earlier, with first pitch at 5 o'clock. Coming up on Friday, Tomahawk Baseball will be traveling down to Merrill. We'll have the broadcast of that game for you over on Sports Talk 810 AM and 100.7 FM WJJQ. Fairman Orthodontics Radio pregame show is at 4:35 and first pitch is at 5 o'clock. Keith Hansey is going to join me in the broadcast booth for that game Friday night. And then coming up on Tuesday, we'll have live updates at the Tomahawk Home Track and Field Meet. That'll be taking place over at Hatchet Field. We will have those updates for you here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Fairman Orthodontics pre-meet show begins at 3:55. Field events will begin at 4:15. And then Tomahawk Baseball will be back at home. They'll be taking on the Antigo Red Robins at Tyler Carl Memorial Field. First pitch will be at 5 o'clock. Getting hard to believe that we are already here in the month of May. Be sure to tune in next week. I'll be recapping the Bucks first-round playoff series with the Indiana Pacers. Hopefully they can find a way to pull it out and win in 7 games before the series ends. And also next week, we're going to have Hatchet Golf Coach Garth Gerstenberger on to talk about the team's season so far. Thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in to tonight's edition of the Sports Q here on WJJQ. As always, I hope you have an absolutely spectacular week, and I will see you all next week.
You've been listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community, right here on Northwoods.